The uncertainty flickered in his eyes again. Part of him wanted to do a George Morgan and just finish it. But there was another part of him as well, one that might not care so much about Pitt anymore, but still wanted to go on living. And above both, above and under and around, binding everything, was the pulse and the quietly calling voice. It wasn't even seductive. It just pulled at you.
"Sarge, come out of there!"
Arky called. I ignored him and kept my eyes on Kurt's boy.
"Ned, use the brains that got you this far. Please!"
Not shouting at him, but raising my voice to get it over the strengthening hum, and at the same time I touched the thing I'd put in my back pocket.
"This res you're sitting in may be alive, but that still doesn't make it worth your time. It's not much different from a Venus flytrap or a pitcher plant, don't you see that? You can't get revenge out of this thing, not even a nickel's worth. It's brainless."
His mouth began to tremble. That was a start, but I wished to God he'd let go of the gun or at least lower it. And there was the butane match. Not as dangerous as the automatic, but bad enough. My shoes were in gasoline as I stood near the driver's door of the Buick, and the fumes were strong enough to make my eyes water. Now the purple glow had begun to spin lazy lines of light across the bogus dashboard controls and to fill up the speedometer dial, making it look like the bubble in a carpenter's level.
"It killed my daddy!"
he shouted in a child's voice, but it wasn't me he was shouting at. He couldn't find whatever it was he wanted to shout at, and that was precisely what was killing him.
"No, Ned, listen. If this thing could laugh, it'd be laughing now. It didn't get the father the way it wanted to, not the way it got Ennis and Brian Lippy, but now it's got a damn fine chance at the son. If Kurt knows, if he sees, he must be screaming in his grave. Everything he feared, everything he fought to prevent, all of it happening again to his own son. Stop it! Stop it!"
Tears were spilling over his eyelids. I bent down, bringing my face into that growing purple glow, into the welling coldness. I brought my face down to Ned's face, where the resistance was finally crumbling. One more blow would do it. I pulled the can I'd taken from the hutch out of my back pocket and held it against my leg and said,
"He must be hearing it laugh, Ned. He must know it's too late. No! And that there's nothing he can do. Nothing at all."
He raised his hands to cover his ears, the gun in the left, the butane match in the right, the gas can balanced on his thighs, his legs dimming out to lavender mist below his shins, that glow rising like water in a well, and it wasn't great. I hadn't knocked him as completely off balance as I would have liked, but it would have to be good enough. I pushed the cap off the aerosol can with my thumb. Had just one fraction of a second to wonder if there was any pressure left in the damn thing after all the years it had stood unused on the shelf in the hutch. And then I maced him.